Everybody, this is Chris Kelso with Unmanned. Thanks for checking out the episode, Drunken Drones, Volume 1. On this episode, I have special guest Colin, and we go into some controversial topics. There's also a bit of language and some inappropriate material. So there's your warning. Some of the topics include Border Patrol, police, criminal activity, and even drone porn. So check it out. Thanks for listening. Welcome, everybody. This is Chris Kelso with Unmanned, and today I have my guest Colin back with me. You guys probably heard him on a previous episode doing pilot discussions and making that transition away from military to contractor in the RPA world. So today is going to be more of a fun session, and we're just going to kind of bullshit about things that are maybe happening now in the Unmanned world or are speculative, could be future stuff. So Colin, thanks for doing the episode again with me.
Always a pleasure.
Yeah, so let's get started. So, currently, right now, we obviously have issues at the border. We've got gun control. We have people protesting. We have Twitter and Periscope live streaming things, and social media is huge. Where do you think drones are headed? Are they going to be accepted and expand and grow, or do you think they're going to get shut down and be legislated and restricted like all the other bullshit we deal with?
Oh, I mean, I both.
yes.
I mean, like, we know Pandora's box is open, man. Like, the quadcopter boom and everything. You know, the FAA officially adopting Part 107 that, you know, for the uninitiated in the audience, that's how the FAA is now licensing civilian drone operators. You know, it used to be that anything remote controlled was pretty much unregulated, like model airplanes, but
right.
You know, the FAA finally got involved, which is good and bad. You know, there's it's lending some legitimacy to these guys taking aerial photography and all that stuff, but at the same time, I'm never a huge fan of regulation, so
because you know it's bullshit, because all they want to do is make money off people flying drones.
Yeah, I mean,
It's the government charging money.
Man, you're running me like right down the middle of my my left and right boundaries here.
Dude, here comes a fucking libertarian.
Yeah,
dude.
Right. Like I hate regulation, but I also hate the idea that like I'm a civilian pilot, and I don't want to be up there in a Cessna, you know, flying around where I'm supposed to be at like 2,000-3,000 feet. You know, I'm sightseeing.
Do they even go up that high?
Well, I mean, not legally, but yeah, they do.
I see what you're saying.
You know, like the danger to air traffic, like it's got to be integrated. You know, we've got to play nicely with each other. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but all right. So let me give you an example then. Let's say I'm some punk ass kid that doesn't give a shit about government regulations like most teenagers don't. And I go to Best Buy and I buy myself a quadcopter, and then I just fly that fucker as high as I possibly can, and I hit a plane.
Yeah.
Now what?
I mean,
I run.
Yeah, right? Like, and that's why I think, like, having the legal, legitimate route to go with that is better. Yeah, you're going to have people that break the rules. You always do. I mean, there are people that don't have a pilot's license that fly all the time. I mean, like seriously, like, Farmer Joe, whose daddy had his little Piper Cub out on the farm,
yeah,
and it's been in the barn for 50 years. Farmer Joe learned to fly from his daddy. He don't need no government license,
yeah.
You know, I mean, but he's tooling around, like, surveying his herd or whatever, you know.
So I've heard they're putting serial numbers in these things now. So
they are.
So if an incident happens, we can trace it back to whoever bought it.
You're
so
supposed to actually, the latest I heard, and I haven't really kept up on it that closely recently because I've been in training and all that,
mm-hmm.
But I think they're actually supposed to have, like, FAA registration numbers that are visible from the outside now.
Get the fuck out of here. No one's going to be able to see that shit 3,000 feet.
No, it's when they find it crashed.
Oh, yeah, yeah, exactly.
they want to be able to trace it.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard that they are putting that stuff out there, which is fine. But a lot of these quadcopter drones are made from China. So how the hell are you going to trace that?
Actually,
would they import them? Do they have to put the registration number on them before they sell it?
I don't know.
No, they're going to the warehouse, right?
Yeah, right.
So I
actually
don't
know. The biggest manufacturer is DJI, and they're out of China.
Right.
Yeah, so
I mean, look at guns. They have serial numbers and shit on them, right?
Oh yeah.
But you can buy that shit off the street. People file that shit off.
I mean, I prefer to buy mine with serial numbers, but also off the street. You know,
best of both worlds, I guess.
Yeah, like, because filing the serial numbers off illegally, is illegal, but buying a gun from some guy who owns it is not illegal, so yeah.
I think it's fair to say that no matter how much the government tries to regulate this,
There's always going to be bad apples.
There's always going to be bad apples.
Yeah.
So I think the risk always exists.
Absolutely.
Do you think, though, that... Let's just say everyone magically becomes compliant. Everyone gets their drone registered.
Which will never fucking happen, but...
All right, but let's go with it. Right? Hypothetical imagination land. Here we are. So let's say everybody does this shit. Well, then what's the next step for the government? Because they never fucking stop. They never
Absolutely.
Just one thing, right? You think they're going to start charging registration? Oh, is it going to be a yearly registration now? What if you own the drone for 5 years? You have to register every year?
I think there already is.
Son
a fee.
Of a bitch.
There's
already insurance.
There's definitely a fee to take the 107 test.
Yeah, I know that.
Absolutely.
And there's insurance, the professional guys anyway. Like some of the guys like Ed Gonzalez and Thomas, the guys that you've probably seen on the podcast or heard. That's stupid. But they have drone insurance, and I even looked into it when I did my little UAV business guide.
I did too.
I researched drone insurance to help other people, so I know it's out there.
Back when I was looking into starting a business, and I never did, it was virtually unheard of, and that was back in like 2015-ish. Hmm. Nobody even offered it, but...
You see some chick got her nut and like neck fucking slit?
No.
Yeah, some guy flew a drone into a chick, and it cut her neck.
Oh, so it wasn't the drone porn you were talking about?
No, okay. I don't know. We'll get the drone porn later. But I don't know the whole story. I don't know if it was intentional. I don't think it was intentional. I think it was an accident. But I think it was a protest or something. I don't know. Some guy was filming something. And this thing crashed into her. And the blade, cut her neck. She started bleeding. That's where the insurance comes in, though.
Oh, yeah. No, I think it's a fantastic idea to have insurance, especially if you're doing this commercially.
Right. Now, does she have the right to sue him?
Yeah.
Even if it crashed and it wasn't... What if it was out of his control?
I'm not a lawyer, dude. It sounds like it's something you'd sue for. I don't know.
So, I mean...
Maybe you need to get a drone lawyer on the podcast.
Oh, shit. Here comes a whole new career field. Drone lawyers. You're going to hear the stupid, annoying fucking commercials on the radio driving the car.
There's already aviation lawyers.
They're going to have a neat little jingle.
Wait,
call 1-800-DRONE. Whatever the hell they do.
quick Google. I found UAV allegedly cuts woman's nose.
No, I'm talking about the neck chick.
Yeah, I'm just doing a quick search. All I'm seeing is the nose one.
Yeah.
So.
Did she need it?
I mean, no, she's actually, the thumbnail that shows, from her upper lip to the eyebrows with, a tiny little Band-Aid on her nose. I mean, she looks like she could be attractive. Guys, you're getting unfiltered shit here.
This is good. It's all raw.
We're just sitting here drinking beers, and we pulled out the audio recorder.
Yeah, because why not? So, all right. So, we've delved into the regulations on that bullshit. And to be honest, that's the most boring part of this for me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, Border Patrol. Currently using the big boys, the big planes, right?
Yeah.
Do you think that they're going to... I mean, what's to stop the agents or all the little guys on the border from throwing up their own little quadcopters?
Oh, I think they will.
I mean, why wouldn't you?
Yeah, no. The fact is that... So, again, my data on this is a little bit dated because I... So, I was looking at going to Customs and Border Protection.
Right.
And I was looking very closely at that job. I talked to a few agents. Turned out it just wasn't going to be the right fit for me. So, but those guys do some important work, and they do a somewhat tough job. It's real similar to what the military does. Obviously, they're not armed. But as far as I know, on the southern border,
they're not armed yet.
Yeah. No, and I actually told these guys when I was talking to them, I said, the minute you get Hellfires, give me a call. That's my specialty.
Here comes an international.
Yeah, right. Just
the war against Mexico.
Yeah, smoking immigrants as they come across. No, that probably would not be a good idea.
Oh, it's an invasion.
You're losing half of your audience here, bro.
I'm not. This isn't in Spanish. I'm not translating. It's fine.
What it was. The problem is they only have two locations where they launch these MQ-9s from. and they're very weather dependent. You know, if there's any weather between like Corpus Christi and Laredo, you ain't seeing Laredo. You know what I mean?
You're
like,
giving them too much intel.
Yeah, right. This is all open source.
When the weather in Corpus is bad.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's when you sneak across the border.
But so, they can't cover too much, though.
But, right, so having the guy in the truck... They're not even flying that long. Having the guy in the truck that's driving along the non-existent wall...
Throw it up.
You know, toss it up there and see toss what you see. So, yeah, no, I think that's
And it's more fiscally... It's much easier for our government to fund a bunch of quadcopters than it is to fund a multi-million dollar Reaper, for God's sake.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I think if Border Patrol really wants to start doing a UAV... program out there, they need to integrate the quadcopters.
Well, and you see the local police departments doing it already, so it's only a matter of time before the feds get into it. I mean,
so that's been a object of contention is police with drones, because you know when a police officer goes to your house, you know they got to have probable cause or a warrant or something, right? They have to have something to investigate the property. But if you have a drone and a cop is just wanting to do up some surveillance in the neighborhood, he can throw that shit up and look in your backyard, and he's now checking out your scene, but you have no idea. Well, and this might be a hot topic for people.
No, I agree with you, but the question I would propose against that, and it's not that I'm disagreeing with you. I'm a big fan of come back with a warrant. But what's the difference between that and the police helicopter that's flying over? I would argue the drones are actually more limited in field of view, because you've got, you know, Officer O'Malley up there hanging out the side of a jet ranger, and he can just look
That's
down.
Racist.
Sorry, Kelso. didn't realize I was triggering you.
Just call me a Mick, for God's sake. Yeah.
No, those are intel people.
No, they got rid of those.
Yeah. But, like, you know, what's the difference between that cop hanging out the side of a helicopter looking into your backyard versus like this,
I agree with
this drone with a soda straw point of view looking at it.
I agree with you, but the helicopters don't go up unless it's critical and an emergency.
Not necessarily.
Drones can go up. Plus, they cost a lot. They cost a lot less too. Yep.
Yeah, the drones are more flexible. So,
I mean, do you think we're going to see PD getting all kinds of quadcopters flying up doing? Staking out places, and they don't have to be parked in front of the house anymore to stake out a place. They can be parked an alley or two away and throw up that quadcopter.
Absolutely right.
Good for counter drug and shit like that.
I'm a big libertarian, as you know. I'm not a big fan of government meddling in virtually anything.
Hi FBI, listening to our podcast.
Right now, that said, I on the whole like Blue Lives Matter thing. I believe most cops are good. They're out there really like trying to do the right thing, and I support those guys. There's a handful of bad ones, just like you find in any group of people.
Right.
I think the vast majority of them would use it for the right reasons, and so I don't want to handcuff good cops from having a tool that would be really useful to them.
Oh, I'm not saying
it's bad. Situations.
I'm not saying it's
but
bad.
But no, you're right. There is the potential for misuse.
But
absolutely.
At the same time, let's say a cop strolls down my neighborhood. I'm not doing anything. I'm barbecuing out in the back or some shit. And he decides to throw up a drone.
Yeah.
And now he's watching me and my kids or my wife at the pool or whatever. Like,
yeah.
At what point is that like, hey, dude, what the fuck are you doing? Okay, why are you looking in my backyard? I got a fence up for this reason, for privacy.
I would say
and now
the point you started with is
me
at that point where it has already gone too far. I mean,
yeah.
If there's no legitimate reason for it, then yeah, absolutely. But,
and I mean, the body cams is like, boom, that shit shot like mandatory body cams.
Yeah.
It's like, shit, if they're going to do that, might as well get the quadcopters up too. You know?
Yeah,
I mean, it's only a matter of time. That's my opinion.
Overall, I agree.
Bold prediction here.
I don't think it's that bold, dude.
It's not. It's totally gonna happen.
Yeah, no, it's already happening. Yeah.
Yeah, it's gonna happen.
Yeah, no, it's. So this is we were talking about this before we started recording, where when I was still in the military, Part 107 comes out, and I was one of the only guys in the squadron that knew anything about it, and. It has changed significantly since I did this brief. So everything I briefed at the time is now out of date. But, I got a flight full of RPA pilots and sensor operators. that this information was relevant to. So I totally used it for an OPR bullet, and pitched it to the commander and the DO, and basically forced everybody in the squadron to watch my little presentation on Part 107.
Yeah.
And which it wasn't even called Part 107 yet. But my big thing was, number one, everyone here is qualified. You know, like, I think you have to go take a test or whatever, but this is something we already do.
Right.
So this is a possible civilian venture you can get into. Yeah, either transition or a side business. And on top of that, these unmanned aircraft going forward are going to do things that we haven't even imagined. There are going to be jobs and tasks created for these things that didn't exist in any other form before unmanned aircraft came out. And we were talking about the whole farming thing. You know,
yeah, agriculture.
Yeah, there are surveys that these things can do that were just not economically efficient with a manned aircraft or any other tool. But now you've got drones flying over farm fields determining where the shade is and like which plants are healthy and whatnot. Which, like I said, I don't know how to do any of that. So,
well, I'll tell you right now, because I've talked to a couple guys that have done this.
Yeah.
Or that have tried to do this.
Right.
And the majority of the feedback that has come back has said, this is really beneficial to the farmers and the agricultural community, but they don't want to pay for it. They don't have the money, they don't have the resources, or they're just cheap. And so it's really hard for these guys to get these jobs.
Yeah, I believe it.
And it's you know, a lot of these guys have been doing it the same way for a long time.
That
and
ain't so, the way my daddy did it.
Yeah, so it's tough for these guys to get into the agricultural side. But, it's out there.
Yeah. And we're seeing technology, like on the farming side. You know, I watch the History Channel too. And
we're going to get unmanned tractors.
They're already there.
Ah, fuck, I'm so behind the times.
Oh, I mean, like they're basically already there. Like Google or go on YouTube and like look for GPS guided tractor. Like these guys aren't really driving them that much anymore. These things have autopilot. They're tracking on GPS to make sure that they get exact coverage over the field.
Yeah.
Same thing with crop dusters. Now, crop dusters, that could be a total unmanned thing.
Oh yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I can see that.
I mean, think about taking all the life support stuff, you know, the seat, the cockpit, the instruments, all of that shit out of a crop duster. That's another probably 400 or 500 pounds of fertilizer or pesticide or whatever you're spreading that you can fit in there. And the GPS probably does it better than a man pilot does. And doing it with a helicopter or a quadcopter versus like an air tractor is, you know, you're definitely going to save some time and save some... I mean, those guys have to do some crazy-ass maneuvering. It's a dangerous job.
But you could pre-program that.
You could totally take that over with unmanned aircraft, yeah.
So, I'd say about a year or two ago, me and three other guys created this little team called Ave Bellum, which stands for Warburg or some shit in Latin. I don't fucking remember. We were drunk. But,
yeah, sure.
And I credit this to my buddy Andrew that kind of kick-started it. But basically the whole concept was that we were going to come up with futuristic drone ideas and then pitch it to investors and Rochester Institute of Technology and things of that nature. And we kind of put ourselves in like a cabin one night with a case of beer and just in a big whiteboard and a marker, you know, Pictionary style, just said, all right, let's go.
That's like my favorite environment sometimes.
And it was awesome. And one of the things that I pitched was, I don't know if you're familiar with the app Periscope.
Yeah.
Where basically you can just hold up your phone and live stream, and then you are now a dot on a map, and people can click on that and then see that feed.
Right.
Well, I wanted to integrate that into UAS.
Nice.
So anyone that launches a quadcopter or a drone, that feed would then be pumped down through a downlink or something of that nature to that person's streaming device.
Which it's already doing, because most of these guys are flying with their phone as the remote.
Exactly. Yeah. They're already doing it. But making that drone feed, that downlink, now accessible as a streaming service through application, so that no matter where in the world someone's flying a drone, you can access the drone's feed.
Yeah.
Because everyone's Periscope is just them on the ground doing shit.
Right.
But if I could access drone feed from anywhere in the world, that is fucking amazing.
So I think...
And I got shut down. I wrote a patent for it, and Twitter bought Periscope.
Okay.
And so I wrote a patent for this. We pushed it to a lawyer, And they came back and said, this is too much like what Twitter owns, essentially. Yeah. We don't want to fight the fight, I guess. So Twitter, if you're listening, this is my fucking idea. Give me a call.
Well, don't worry about it, because I'm about to kill your thunder right there.
Ah, Jesus. Shit on my parade.
And again, like, we didn't research any of this stuff ahead of time, so I'm not going to come up with a specific citation or whatever, but I'm pretty sure DJI did this a couple of years ago on New Year's, if I'm not mistaken. They had a couple of their, I think they had just released the Inspire 1 okay. with, like, it wasn't the drone itself, it was like the new software package or a new camera or some shit it had on it, but they had like a New Year's party in like some high rise in Singapore or some shit, and launched the drone out of the building and like pulled out and viewed the party from like, you know, hundreds of feet away
yeah.
at the level of
at
the skyscraper.
Yeah.
And
Die Hard style
and then, and then streamed that live. And that was like the first time that their software supported something like that.
Yeah.
So yeah, that happened a couple of years ago.
But there's no app for this.
You're right. There is no app.
There's no drone app.
I mean, unless DJI has it within their app, which they might, but that's still not social media. That's
right. And that's, yeah. that was my mentality was yeah. this. And I'm not saying I'm trying to create the next Instagram
no.
or anything.
Although,
but,
if you could sell that idea to Instagram.
I don't have the fucking energy, but there's not enough quadcopters yet, I think, to make this worth it.
Yeah.
Because there's only a couple thousand people that are doing this, at least professionally.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah, there's millions of
them. And you look at the majority of the market, it's not in, you know, middle of Africa or the, you know, even in the country, you're not going to find a bunch of dudes with quadcopters, per se.
Yeah.
But I think it would be interesting in major cities or wherever there's a large populace. If people are throwing these things up and live streaming it, I mean, shit, maybe I'm just sitting on the toilet one day and I go, hey, I wonder what's happening in freaking Shanghai on a quadcopter. And just boop. And now I can watch somebody else's feed and see a beautiful, you know, view of a city I've never even been to.
Yeah.
That's live. And it's not some bullshit picture on Google.
Yeah.
It's a live feed.
Well,
there could be a parade going on, or there could be protests. Who knows what the hell's
so
going
now,
on? Fire, a wildfire in California. Who knows?
So link you know? That up with the...
Like,
the,
news should be eating this shit up right now. I'm fucking like, genius.
So connect that with... You've got these drones that, like, you stick a little remote in your backpack, and you ski down the mountain, and it chases you.
Yeah. Well, it actually circles you.
Well, it'll do whatever you tell it to do.
Right.
Right. So now you live stream that on whatever your app is, and now, like, you know, Sean White is going down the half pipe
and you get to watch the aerial
view. And he's got his drone chasing him.
Yeah.
And you can sit there and follow him all the way through his half pipe.
Yeah, like, see, it's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, that would be huge for...
Yeah, I don't know why I got shut down.
Because somebody else already came up with it and made the money.
Lawyers. They want to do the work. My patent was a great idea.
Yeah.
But yeah, dude, I mean, shit, you could strap, you know, with the technology they're talking about, why not strap it to a freaking kangaroo or something? Like, just strap it, you know, it's like, here comes PETA, but...
Like people that put their GoPro on their dog and just
right,
let him out.
Right,
yeah.
Just let him out, right? Like, put this shit on a wild animal, like a bear or something out in the woods.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I guess you'd have to trank it first and then strap it around there. But, you know, it'd be cool to see... This is like National Geographic yeah. shit all, times two.
Yeah.
You know, to have a drone feed. Now, I don't know how you would collect that drone back or get that feed. It's going to run out of battery.
You get the drone back, you don't get the little tracking device back.
Right, but it's only going to be good for, you know, however many hours a drone flies for.
I mean, most of them are somewhere around 20 minutes, so
it's best, not going to go far. Yeah, if you trank the bear, he's just going to lay there.
Yeah. Well, no, you trank the bear, and then you wait for him to wake up, and then you launch the drone.
Yeah, at least you get to see if he shits in the woods.
Yeah. Yeah, because that question hasn't been answered enough times.
But I just think there's so many cool things out there. You know, we mentioned the fact that they got drones right now washing windows in the city. Like, can you talk about how things are going to happen that we've never even thought about before that these things are going to do? I mean, I think that's the most interesting thing in the world.
Yeah.
And I love talking about it because it really does explore the creativity of the mind and it's a new emerging technology.
Yeah.
And that's always interesting. You did throw out a little drone porn out there, and I do kind of want to bring it up because it cracks me up. I was curious. My buddy at work, and I'm not going to throw his name out because I know he doesn't want his name out there, but my buddy at work goes, dude, you got to watch this. I'm like, all right. So he brings it up on his phone or tablet at work, and I hope he doesn't get in trouble for this. We're watching porn in the office. But he pulls this thing up, and it's drone porn. And I'm sitting there like, what the hell is this? He's like, just wait. I'm like, all right. And I see this drone. It's got to be like 100 feet above this couple.
Oh, this is like outside.
Yeah, this is in the woods.
Okay.
Okay, it's in the woods. It's this couple naked in the woods, which just sounds uncomfortable to be on twigs and dirt. I mean, I used to camp a lot.
Yeah,
and too. I would never want to be naked on the ground.
No.
But, so anyway, this drone is going like really slow over top of them, but it's so high up that all you can see is like this tiny little white dude's ass just thumping along. And
is it a tiny dude or a tiny ass?
It was tiny everything because damn drone's so high.
Okay.
And that was the whole video.
I mean, the listeners want to know.
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
I'm assuming it's a dude.
Yeah.
Anyway, the drone was so high, it sucked. And it was over. That was the whole thing. And he's like, dude, this is crazy. I was like, are you kidding me? I was like, that's not going to work for me. That was like 30 seconds of some white dude's ass 100 feet in, you know, with the drone feed 100 feet high.
If it was closer, maybe, but, you know.
I can't work with this. Yeah, it's weird. It was just weird. And he's like, no, dude, it's coming. It's coming.
So to speak.
Yeah, right. So I was like, shit. And I started doing this podcast. I was like, man. And, you know, he talked about it a little bit more. I was like, hey, I'd really like to have you on the show because I'm sure you watch a lot of this. And I'd like to talk to you about it. He's like, no, I'm not. Definitely not going to do it. So I was like, all right, fine, fuck it. So I did my own research.
Yeah.
Because I have to. Because yeah, I'm a responsible provider of content.
Seeking knowledge, yeah.
So my drone search or porn search was drone porn. And there was maybe a handful of videos that popped up. And I was like, man, these are all going to suck because they're all going to be like 100 feet high and it's going to just be disappointing. But then I saw one that caught my eye. And this was because it was close up. And it's this chick by like a pool in like a, you know, whatever those poolside chairs are.
Yeah, like a lounge chair.
Yeah, a lounge chair. And she's, you know, she's obviously naked. And I see this guy with the remote control quadcopter, like a DJI or whatever it is, and he's bringing this thing in like close, and there's these four blades spinning, and she is
like he's on final for the landing
spin, dude. Yeah. Oh, I'll get to that point. Okay. I'm not making this shit up. So this thing's coming in. Usually when people lay back in one of these lounge chairs, they're comfortable, they're relaxed.
Yeah,
she's in like the I'm giving birth position. And she's scooting back as far as she can. You can see her hands like pushing back in the chair. And she's obviously pulling away from this thing.
Yeah.
And she's scared and she's nervous. And you just see these blades getting closer and closer to her. Well, hanging from the drone is fucking dildo.
Wow.
And you have to understand that the size of the drone and the blades, the radius of the blades.
Yeah.
And then this thing attached to it. They don't make them 3 feet long, to my knowledge. Not that, like, I've been going to the stores looking, but I mean you're so talking like
this is the payload on the drone, right? Like, yeah, there's no other camera.
No, well, no. The camera's not in the dildo. The camera is the camera.
Okay,
but there's like this freaking dildo attached. Like
they hung it off.
The bottom of it, right, or whatever. And their whole objective here was to basically get that penetration with this chick.
Yeah.
And to have that kind of feed, that angle or whatever it is.
Put the thing on the thing, so to speak.
Right. But you can tell she's terrified because the blades are so close.
I wouldn't want to be anywhere near
that. He's like lowering this shit in. And she's like trying to maneuver. And it's like, it was one of the, I wasn't aroused at all. I was terrified. It was like watching a horror movie. Like, I'm like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. You know, like, this bitch is going to get cut.
Yeah, it's like
it was
somewhere,
frightening.
Somewhere between, like, horror movie and then, like, you know, watching the biologist put the tracker on the on the shark. You know, like, you're going to stab it in the fin.
Like. It was a shark attack. Yeah. It looked like a shark attack. Like, this chick was terrified. The guy's, like, creeping this thing in. And the whole time, I'm just like, who is masturbating to this? Like, this is horrifying.
And, I was going to say, like, from your description, I'm not going to go look for this later. Like,
nah, you got to, just to see it once. But I'm just sitting there going, this isn't going to be a thing. I mean, it was a cool concept, and they pulled it off. But my God.
Are we not doing phrasing anymore?
What?
They pulled it off. Oh, sorry, there's been like 69 different opportunities for a so to speak, and I've kept it to a minimum.
And you used the number 69 for that.
Oh, a pilot. I mean.
The cameraman, it was amazing. Like, do you think, like, when he signed up for that shit, like, I don't even know how they found this guy, to be honest. Like, do you think this guy, like, I mean, we have all these, like, small UAS dudes, right, that are out there pitching, they want jobs.
Right.
And they're like, hey, I'm a drone guy, give me a job, and they'll take pretty much anything right now, because the market's kind of saturated, to be honest. Do you think this guy, like, saw an ad on Craigslist, and was like, need drone quadcopter pilot, and he's like, dude, I got this, I'm gonna get it, and he got the job, and he shows up on set, like, yeah, we need you to fly this dildo into this chick on a lawn chair. Oh, by the way, good luck, and don't cut her or your suit, and you're ruined.
I think the better question is, did that guy then use that video on his own website to advertise his business? You know, you've got like, you know, Riverdale, you know, real estate drone photography company or whatever whatever he calls it. You know, like Riverdale aerial imagery, right? And then he's like, yeah, so I took a picture of this mansion and then like this nice house down on Main Street.
Beautiful scenery.
And then also this naked chick, like from, you know.
Yeah. Like, 3 centimeters away like, from this
Scorsese
squat.
Angles. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God!
Yeah, I'm sure that's in his portfolio.
Oh, I need to find that guy so I can interview him next. Yeah, I hear that story.
That's better than getting the porn star.
That's a good story. That's true. Maybe I'll get the porn star and the drone guy, and I'll do a 3-person podcast and just let them talk about it.
Are you saying you're going to do a drone porn 3-way?
Yes, definitely.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes, I just think after watching that, I was like, you know what, drone porn's not going to be a thing.
I think you're probably right.
Unless they find a really creative way. Maybe they get those little bumblebees or like the tiny little drones.
Or, I mean, I guess there's a fetish for everything. I mean.
Yeah, I guess if your fetish is watching a chick fear for her life, I have no idea.
Or you're sexually aroused by airplanes. I mean, one of the two.
Oh my God, I can't believe I found it. It's the best of both worlds. Now, there was a guy that got busted for screwing a car.
I thought you ever heard
of that one?
No, but there was also a guy in the UK, I think, that got busted for engaging with a woman while he was piloting command of an airplane.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's...
Well, the funny thing is, apparently, they figured it out because, you know, like, she got on top of him or whatever and kept hitting the push-to-talk.
Oh, it was going on the radio?
So it was going out over the radio.
Did they look at the black box afterwards?
Oh!
What?
Racist.
Insert drum thing.
But I'm dumb.
No, there was a guy that got busted. My wife watches all these crime shows all the time, like this TV drama crime stuff. And I'm sitting there, it's on. Some dude got busted for... He used to, like, go date chicks and then... that had really nice cars.
Mm-hmm.
And he would ask him eventually after dating him if he could drive the car around. Well, then the cars would like go missing and like the chick, like he wouldn't return it.
Yeah.
And the chicks like called cops and they found this dude like with a parking garage. It was like Gone in 60 Seconds style. This dude had like a bunch of nice cars and they caught him actually in the act in the exhaust pipe.
What?
Yeah. So,
yeah,
I don't know what kind of position you got to get in to get to an exhaust pipe, but
depends on the car.
We've gone way off topic.
Yeah, yeah. I was gonna say, this is taking us for a left turn here.
Unmanned sex robots. There, yeah. That's where we're gonna end up next. But I'm not even gonna go down that route. The Asians are way ahead of us there.
Racist.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, that is a fact.
Fact.
You're right. That is a fact.
That is the manufacturing center.
Yeah.
The robots. But yeah, so. With drone stuff, man, I mean, you know, it seems like the possibilities are endless. I mean, if we're you know, doing porn with drones, if we're washing windows with drones, if we're, you know, doing all kinds of crazy stuff, I have no idea where this is going to go.
I mean, I have a drone vacuum cleaner.
That's a Roomba.
It
doesn't fly, though.
No, it doesn't.
So
I kind of wish it did, because, like, all the dust that I don't clean off the fans and shit.
Like the corners and the cobwebs or whatever.
It doesn't clean those, and I'm sure not going to. So, you know.
I don't know.
I need, like, the maid from the Jetsons.
What was her name? It started with a J, didn't it?
I don't remember.
Like Ruby or something.
Rosie.
There it is. Yeah. I don't know, man.
You're going to get 10,000 comments telling us we're wrong.
I don't care.
Yeah.
But, you know, like I mentioned to you before we started this, the insurance.
Yeah.
The first responders.
Yeah.
I think you're going to see something implemented with either medics or fire department or something where, shit, why don't they hook up a drone to a fire hose? I mean, it probably wouldn't be able to hold the hose and maintain its aerodynamic, you know, whatever. But if you build them a little bit bigger and a little bit stronger, it might.
Well, and that's one of the big limitations to the whole technology right now is that the FAA limits it to 55 pounds or less.
Yeah.
Which was a wonderful conversation I had with the FISDO. So, I mean, I'm a commercial pilot, instrument rated, single engine, multi-engine. And I fly drones for the Air Force that weigh 11,700 pounds at takeoff, right?
It's very specific.
So, or up to, I should say. That's the max takeoff weight. So, I go down to the FAA's office in Texas, and I bring my entire flight record. I mean, this thing's like a 2-inch thick folder.
The King James version?
Yeah, right? Like, I got the entire... I made one of my poor SARM airmen go and photocopy the entire thing. So,
oh, my God.
I didn't realize how much work I was putting her in for, but... anyway, so I have this giant stack of paper. She was annoyed with me, by the way.
Yeah, I'm sure. One airman you didn't have. One airman you left
a
bad
face. She still likes me. anyway, so I go down there, and I'm talking to this FAA inspector. Excuse me. And he basically said, look, here's all my experience. Here's all my ratings. Can I get anything transferred from my military record onto my commercial pilot's license? Can I get a 107? Can I get credit for the fundamentals of instruction, for God's sakes? Because I really don't want to take that test for my CFI.
Yeah.
And the Air Force teaches the exact same thing. They just call it something different, and the FAA doesn't recognize it. And they would, by the way, if I was, say, a C-130 IP. I took the exact same class, but I'm an MQ-9 IP, so they wouldn't recognize it. Anyway, super fun conversation about how I'm qualified to fly almost, like, I'm trying to think, you know, in terms of the FAA, you're like 800 pounds short of a type rating for a Reaper, but I'm not qualified to fly something under 55 pounds. And the guy was like, no, you have to take the test, and you can't do this, and you can't do that, and, like, the rules in their current state are nowhere near mature. There's going to be advancements on the regulatory side that will eventually open this up and mean that, yeah, you might be able to license something big enough to haul up a fire hose. Maybe.
Do you think of those because you flew large planes that had to take off on runways and you knew that you were limited? You weren't able to hover in those planes. You weren't able to...
True, but there's nothing in 107 that says anything about rotorcraft. Hmm. It's just any remotely piloted aircraft under 55 pounds. It doesn't distinguish between fixed wing or rotary.
So what happens if it's a remotely piloted aircraft above 55 pounds? What happens if someone makes a 80-pound drone?
Then you have to go back into, like, the way we used to have to do it with all... Or the way the Air Force still has to do it with all the special permits... And the,
so it's,
you know,
a pain in the ass,
6 months of paperwork ahead of time. Yeah. You know, they touched on it briefly in academics up at Creech about, like, yeah, if we want to fly outside of the NITR, we have to file all this paperwork and it takes like 6 months to process.
Yeah.
That's what you got to do if you go to 56 pounds.
Do you think the FAA, though, is cognizant of this and is willing and has already had a plan to let's expand this. We know they're going to go up to 100 pounds. We know they're going to get bigger.
No.
I mean, no.
Because Congress had to force them to do it the first time, and it took them 2 years longer than Congress gave them to actually pull off Part 107.
I feel like Congress shouldn't have to force a federal organization to do their job.
Man, it's the government we're
talking
about.
I know.
No, the point is, I don't think the FAA is internally motivated to do anything with RPA. I think they've only done what they have done so far because they were forced to, both by legislation and by now, like, public outcry. You know, every time you hear about a close call with a quadcopter and an airliner at JFK, yeah. I'm not saying that's not a big deal. That's a big problem. But, it makes national news.
And, well, you seen these people that have been shooting the drones out of the sky with shotguns and stuff?
Yeah.
And, I mean, so that kind of leads me into my next thing here. What do you think about counter drone?
I mean,
you've got a child.
I do.
What if it was a daughter, and now she's a teenager, and now neighborhood Charlie is putting a drone up and trying to look through your daughter's back window?
Oh, I would be finding something to do with it.
Yeah. How do you protect yourself from something like that? Besides closing the curtains, of course.
I mean, there's that.
Let's make the most obvious.
Yeah, we can go low tech on this. Right. I kind of circle back to, you know, where is the crime? All right, flying the drone isn't the crime. Peeping in somebody's window is already illegal.
Right, using technology.
We're just using a different method to do it.
That's true.
So, you know, hit them for peeping in the window. It's irrelevant how the guy did it.
Yeah, it might be hard to prove it too, unless you can. And that's why these guys are making these guns that shoot nets and stuff to capture the drones.
Yeah, with the registration numbers like we were talking about.
Yeah, you bring it down, you go, dude,
I can track it.
I caught this, I shot it out of the sky with my net gun, landed in my backyard, and it's this asshole three houses down. And that's how you go.
Yeah, and then go get him, Smokey. I mean, I'm all for that. You know, again, it's down to 99% of the people that do this stuff are going to be good people. They're going to use them for the right reasons. And no matter what you're talking about, you could be talking drones or boats or, you know, cars or whatever it is, every single item out there that a number of people use, there's going to be the vast majority that use them properly. I mean, look at drugs. You know, the vast majority of people, you know, they go have a surgery, they take their painkillers, they don't need them anymore, and they stop using them. But then you have the handful that get addicted to them and start using them.
And it ruins
it for everybody else. I mean, fucking Sudafed. Can't go buy Sudafed when you have a cold.
You can't?
Because there's... No, you have to, like, go to the pharmacy counter.
Buy Sudafed.
Like,
I buy NyQuil. Green
point
death
is,
flavor.
Like, yeah, right? But, like, you can't even buy Sudafed because there's a handful of meth heads out there that decided to start cooking drugs with it. And now
heard
it's,
of
like,
Robo
this
trip, and
super
I've never
controlled
heard of
thing. Well, no. Like, Sudafed apparently has, like, some of the ingredients that you need for meth. So that's why if you go to any pharmacy, if you want to buy Sudafed, you have to go up to the counter and the pharmacist has to give it to you. They take your name and your firstborn and shit. And, you know, they let you buy like three pills at a time. It's ridiculous.
I did not know that.
Go watch Breaking Bad sometime, dude.
I did. It was all blue meth, though. It wasn't Sudafed. Yeah. I don't remember Sudafed.
Like, Sudafed is one of the ingredients or something. No. Or there's something in Sudafed. I don't know. I don't cook meth. I don't know.
Neither do I. I'll take your word
for it. I watched Breaking Bad. All I know is my ex-wife was a doctor, and she wanted to get me some Sudafed, and we had to go, like, negotiate with the pharmacist.
Why marry a doctor if she can't prescribe you medicine?
I'm pretty sure that's like three different kinds of illegal, but it's not even prescription. It's technically over the counter, but they control it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, because I'm going to go cook meth with it. Now, dude, I have a stuffy nose. Like, calm down. But the point is, like, no matter what technology is, somebody is going to misuse it. And the question is, do we make, you know, 10 new laws about it,
yeah,
or do we enforce the existing ones?
Shit, dude, we were in the military. So what happens? One guy wears black socks to PT, and now we all have to run for an extra half an
hour,
right? Or yeah. So you're going to have somebody's going to do something stupid, and the FAA is going to go, holy shit, we're never letting this happen again, and they're going to come down hard on everybody. So I think it's everyone that's dealing with drones right now, they need to be responsible.
Absolutely.
And do everything in their power to make sure they're doing it legally in the right way.
I 100% agree.
And, you know, I mentioned, you know, gun control and stuff at the very beginning. And I did see that video of that kid that put a pistol on a quadcopter and then successfully fired that pistol.
Yeah, and the quad moved. I mean, it corrected itself
was great,
pretty nicely, yeah.
But you are now literally scaring the shit out of people. People are afraid of drones. People are afraid of guns that don't understand them. And so when you put a video like that out, I think you're just asking for a giant magnifying glass of scrutiny that ruins both gun enthusiasts and UAV enthusiasts.
Yep. No matter.
I don't even know how he did it, but it doesn't matter. But it's.
Yeah, I'm not.
You are opening yourself up for.
Oh yeah.
A whole other
again
shooter.
You know,
topic of debate.
That's. I'm pretty sure it's a result of the access. You know, it used to be that people who flew remote control planes were nerds, and like. They kind of kept to themselves, and you'd see them out on the football field on Saturdays and stuff. Now, you know, everybody and his brother, like, now the cool kids are allowed to play with remote control airplanes. You know, now drones are the cool new thing.
And it's now monetized. Now you can make money doing it.
Well, yeah.
I think that really sparks things. I mean, shit, look at Instagram.
Yeah, it's a combo of the two. So you've got this explosion in popularity. So now, instead of the handful of nerds on the weekends that are doing it
just as a hobby
and they're doing it responsibly, you know, they're not endangering other people and everything. Well, now you've got every freaking idiot with anywhere between $50 and $1,000 can go out and buy something.
Yeah.
You know, I bought one at Radio Shack years ago, which is dating me a little bit, but I literally walked into the store, found a $50, actually no, it was like $39.99 for this little, like, tiny quadcopter. It might have been 4 inches across. I could fly it around in my house. And it wasn't very good. I mean, and I wasn't very good at it. You know, it was a pretty crude little toy. But,
yeah,
you know, I then immediately took it out in front of my house, set it in the driveway, ran it to full throttle, and this little shit shot up, like, 200 feet in the air. And before I could get it back down, I had to chase it, like, 5 houses down.
Damn.
Yeah. Like, the wind just picked it up and took it.
You're a horrible pilot.
I know. I was nowhere near an airport. I was outside of the controlled airspace.
Well, my son asked for one of those.
Yeah.
One of the little quadcopters, and I bought him one for Christmas.
Yeah.
And he was just taking it, like, 100 miles an hour through my basement and just smashing into the wall and stuff. Yeah. I'm like, oh, my God.
Oh, no, I had to buy, like, three new
and
sets
those,
of
those little blades
it.
Hurt,
yeah.
too.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Stop. It was horrible. And that was just like a little USB charger too. Watching that little guy fly that, you know, watching that thing fly around and then it even hit me sometimes like, oh shit. I'm going, Jesus, what would one of the big ones do?
Have you seen the drone races?
Yes.
Like the first person like video.
Yes.
Like the VR goggles.
It's ridiculous.
Shit. Yeah.
Do you think that's going to get big?
Honestly, it looks like a ton of fun, dude.
It does look like fun, but who's going to watch the drones go around?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it took 15 years for Red Bull Air Races to become popular, and there's actually guys in those.
I mean, look at NASCAR.
Yeah.
I mean, most people just get shit-faced and watch cars go around 500 times. So, drone racing? I have no idea.
Yeah.
I don't know. Unless you start seeing crazy crashes and stuff, but...
Which does happen, but...
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I don't think drone racing will get that.
No, I don't either. But it does look like fun.
I mean, I think it's a cool concept.
Yeah.
Especially, and right now they're using it in these very small kind of circular, mm-hmm. you know, oval like a stadium, like a football stadium almost. If you had a I don't want to say a track, but if you had like a Grand Prix style kind of, like now this thing is waving in and out of the woods or doing crazy shit like that, like Star Wars Speed Racer style.
Yeah.
Now drone racing could be really cool to watch.
I've seen a few of those.
Really?
Yeah, like I saw one where they were flying like through a stadium. But like, so you like fly out over the field and then like duck into one of those tunnels that goes like, you know, out to like where the concessions are.
Yeah.
But then they have it set up where like, they have to weave in and out of the pilings.
Okay, so it is kind of cool.
Yeah, yeah. Like, this is a couple years ago I saw this. So yeah, I mean, that kind of thing is out there. And of course, the nerd in me is wondering, how are they maintaining Link?
Yeah, I don't know. That's actually a good question.
Yeah, I have no idea.
I'm going to have to look into that, actually. Cause now you've piqued my interest.
Because they've got uplink and downlink, because they're using those, you know, VR goggles.
Yeah. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I don't know. All kinds of good stuff. But, yeah. I think that I'm all out of topics for right now.
Yeah. Well, dude, that
beers,
was a...
Beers and drones, man. Yeah. I think it's, awesome.
That needs to be the title of the episode. This is like a sub-series.
Beers and drones.
Beers and drones.
Beer and drones. Yep. Yeah, definitely a lot of fun. So I want to thank you for sitting here and bullshitting with me.
Absolutely, man.
As always. So
we should have been recording this kind of stuff for the last 2 months.
Yeah, well, I didn't think about it. So, yeah. Anyway. So thanks, Colin, for being on the show. And everybody, this is Chris Kelso signing off with Unmanned. So cheers.